first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 98. We normally kick off with some sort of 98 attributed fact, but Stuart Hoare has given birth, not himself, allegedly. Amelia Hope Mia Hoare is the first podcast baby to be born since we've been doing the show. Other than Cy Heads, but he's not here anymore.
I have to say, I heard from Stuart's missus this morning. Apparently she's up to her arms in dirty nappies, and she's still got to deal with the baby as well.
I've got a baby.
Jerry.
Her Jerry, even.
Jerry Hoare.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or no. Mia.
Or Albert.
Albert Hoare.
Yeah. No, it's a very nice name, and congratulations Albert's to Stuart. Good. I assume he'll be back on the show probably next week when his paternity leave, is over. So, anyway, so 98 show. When you think of 98, I think us of a certain age, we all think France 98.
Yeah.
I often think of the Owen goal and all those sort of things, Beckham getting sent off, but I always remember when Robbie Earl scored for Jamaica.
Well, their first ever goal. It's interesting because friend of the show, Carl Lawson, I was chatting to him on Twitter the other day, he tweeted me a link to the Jamaica 98 shirt.
How did you start talking about Jamaica 98?
Because on the last show we were talking about the qualifiers, that's right, 2 weeks ago.
And I pledged
if Jamaica get to the next World Cup, which they don't look too bad to do at the moment, I will buy that shirt.
I thought you were going to say you were going to go out to Brazil and support them, but no, I'll buy the shirt.
That's got to be a possibility.
Carl, if you're willing to pay for me to go out to Brazil, I'll happily do it.
Anyway, I remember the Robbie Earl goal.
Yeah.
All of the 40 women in bikinis from Holland went mental as well, that he got the tickets for, I'm sure. against Croatia, which they eventually lost, and then I remember watching the Argentina game when they got absolutely thumped 5-0.
Well, see, it's interesting because the game that sticks out for me is when they beat Japan 2-1, and the legendary Theodore Whitmore played for Hull.
There was such a big thing in this country about Jamaica being the reggae boys and whatever. It was brilliant to watch. So I looked as I went. I leaned onto the 5-0 result, and then it got me thinking. Do you know the scorers from the 5-0 game?
The Argentinian scorers.
Argentina 5.
Ortega,
Batshuayi.
Bang on. Ortega got a brace, and Batshuayi got 3.
Well done, boys.
I knew Ortega scored.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just going to go through a few more of the players. So Roa was in goal.
The world's going to end.
Yep. Roberto Ayala.
Ball here.
Roberto Sensini. Claudio Lopez.
Claudio Lopez.
What a player he was.
But it's Roberto Nesta. Like his middle name. His first name was actually Roberto. True story.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Fred,
people Nesta. Diego Simeone. Javier Zanetti, Varon, Ortega, Batistuta, and Crespo on the bench. That is not a bad team at all,
not
is
bad
it?
Team, no.
You look down that, and it's just like. And now, can you name any of the Argentine like defenders that get in the squad regularly or midfielders?
Samuel, does he still get
Fabrizio Colaccini?
Yeah.
Does he play for him now?
Yeah. He does. Yeah.
Fair enough. But it's just like that Argentina squad was amazing back then.
Did they lose to Holland?
They did, yes. Yeah, thanks to Dennis Bergkamp.
Great goal as well.
Another of the France 98 memories.
Yeah, I was camping in North Wales at the time. True story.
Betsy
Cohen.
Lovely place.
So then I looked at Batshuayi a little bit. His scoring record, 56 goals in 78 appearances, including more hat-tricks than Houdini as well, because he loved a hat-trick. Yeah, he used to score 4 goals.
Great one against Arsenal, I remember.
For Argentina?
For Argentina. No, played in that.
It's interesting you mention France 98, because do you know at the time of France 98, Liverpool debutant Jerome Sinclair from Asac was one.
Well, he wasn't alive in Euro 96.
No,
as well.
How depressing is that?
He played last night in the Capital One Cup. What was his name? Sorry,
Jerome Sinclair.
16 years and 16 and 6 days, is it, or 16 days?
No, 6 days.
16 years and 6 days. So yeah, he wasn't born during Euro 96. What me and mates were saying as well last night was there's soon going to be a player that's going to play. Mackie Stadium was born in the year 2000.
I know.
That's when it's going to get really scary. It's only going to
that
be like two
goosebumps. You saying that?
Yeah, yeah, like two, three.
Yeah, shiver.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I'm waiting for Amelia Hoare to make a day.
Yeah, but well, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. Right. Anyway, Batshuayi moved to Perth in 2005. completed his badges in Argentina, and he's now back in Argentina running a construction company.
Oh, right, well.
In case anyone was interested.
So he didn't bother going into coaching after doing his badges?
No, he is the...
Why did he move to Perth to do his coaching badges?
No, he moved to Perth and then moved back to Argentina.
Oh, right.
No idea why he went to Australia. Maybe our friends at FFDU can give us a shout. No, he wasn't playing and wasn't getting involved in football at all. He now runs a construction company, as I said, but he's the technical secretary for Colón, who are an Argentinian first division team.
Who are managed
by Sensini, who obviously played in the game against Jamaica.
Nice little tie-in.
Yeah.
Just bringing it back round. Exactly. Just bringing it back round.
So it's a circle.
Right, football.
Football.
What do you want to go with? The weekend results, Capital One Cup?
I don't think there was much controversy at the weekend, so I don't really need to talk about that much.
We'll talk about Man U Liverpool, and then let's have your standout and standout performance from each one of us. So we'll go around the table. So, Mike?
All right, well, to start, I think that Mark Carty, well, he obviously has got quite a bit of sticks. He's gone to the police about it.
Yeah, apparently one of his family members made an official complaint.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, do you see what they were tweeting at?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There were three big decisions in that game. Arguably got them all wrong. But at the same time, I think...
Well, do you think Shelby shouldn't have got sent off for that?
I personally...
It depends what angle you see it from, to be honest.
Well, I think that's what I was going to say.
He got them all right.
First time I think it's red, don't you?
I think from the angle he was at, definitely red card. I also think the fact that Johnny Evans got more of the ball and didn't collide with Shelby's thigh, like... Shelby,
the one thing about the Shelby sending off as well, he basically said that Ferguson grassed him up. Not really sure how that works.
I got an interesting theory from a friend.
Fergie was on at the assistant.
He was saying that Ferdinand grassed him up and he didn't have enough characters on Twitter.
Could be, if you see it, Ferdinand went fucking leave. Because Ferdinand was just straight in houses here. Gotta go.
I don't think anyone can say it's not a red card. For Shelby, it should be for Johnny Evans, and from the angle the right.
Okay, so he hasn't got them all wrong then. You said he might have got them all wrong.
No, I said arguably he's got them all wrong because I've heard a lot of arguments about it.
Okay.
I think Suarez penalty. Suarez hasn't helped himself by the way he's thrown himself to the ground. He's never going to get that. He's tilted his
head. Who gave the pen away?
It was Johnny Evans. Well, it was Glenn Johnson.
That's it, because he got done by his own. Like, he took out his own man on the halfway line. Got up and then took out.
I personally think that was a penalty. I think the way he went across him, I don't think Valenti could have done much to it.
I think Welbeck has pulled him aside in training and said, this is what you need to do, mate. This is how we get pens.
And then when we score it, you tilt your arms out.
Give it to Danny. Give it to Welbeck. I was doing a bit in. Where was the Euros on again?
Ukraine,
that's it. Yeah.
It was that good, wasn't it?
It was that good, yeah, I forgot.
But no, I do think it was a complete mugging by United. But they're the sort of performances that win you titles if you play terribly. It's the worst we've played at Anfield in about 5 years, and we haven't won there for 5 years. So.
Yeah, valid point.
Still 1 point behind Chelsea, but with Arsenal to play, Chelsea at Arsenal at the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which would be quite interesting.
Did feel a bit sorry for Liverpool in that game because they played quite well.
They did, and I think they will improve. They've had a tough start to the season. They've had, United, City, and Arsenal. It's not as if, I mean, the West Brom game was poor, and arguably they should have got more from Sunderland, but they're not easy games.
They're not easy games in the Premiership, is it, these days?
No.
So have you got a standout or a stand down?
I would say my standout performance would come from actually a United youth player called Scott Wilson, who scored 5 against Newcastle reserves.
So that's your standout.
That's
reserve,
my standout.
Reserve
player. Who else is going to say it? Normally we keep going over things in the reserves.
What do you mean? Who else is going to say it? No one else was going to say it.
Exactly.
We haven't heard about it.
Yeah, but normally we have the same person say it. Basically, he scored 5, and I think it was an 8-2 drubbing of Newcastle. It might have been 6-1.
Who is what? I don't even understand.
Scott Wilson for United reserve.
But why are you saying who else is going to say it?
Because normally we'll say, "Oh, my stance is about." Oh yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say that.
That happens very
rarely. How old is he, this chap?
He's in the
more than 2000s.
Did we mention him?
Probably was. Yeah. We've not mentioned him yet. No, it's the first I've heard of him. But stand down performance were the respective fans of Liverpool and Manchester United after the game.
Yeah.
Well, you can't say. Well, you could say Liverpool, but it was only one guy, didn't it? Or two guys got on the pitch and gave it the aeroplane.
At the same time, I've got a mate who was in the Liverpool end, a mate who was in the United end, and apparently there were people shouting throughout the game. Obviously, it's a minority, and fair play to everyone for respecting it by and large, but. after the game, those two incidents, and again, they were the minority, but you just think, someone's got to have common sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. While we're talking about that as well, you see Andy Robinson scored for Tranmere just after all the stuff came out, justice stuff.
Yeah.
Got booked for taking his shirt off because he had a justice for the 96 thing. He said to the referee, the referee didn't want to book me, but he's got to do it by the law. Because it turned out, if he doesn't book him, the FA will haul him in, so you should have booked him. Doesn't matter about the circumstances.
And he gets dropped.
He'll go down to League 2 from League 1 and he'll be on a different list. Just absolutely preposterous, but there we go.
Right. Not
so, who was your stand down again?
Stand down was fans.
Shawnee?
Stand out for him. I really should go for Craig Davis because he was absolutely He was absolutely blinding against Birmingham for Barnsley.
Barnsley, four goals. What was the final result?
Five nil.
0-0.
At St Andrews.
Yeah, exactly. And he is a boyhood Birmingham fan. I was telling you the other day. So he had loads of his mates were in the ground. If he wasn't playing football, he would probably been in the ground himself. He's that much of a blue nose.
Danny Kedwell.
Yeah, and he scored four, and he was doing a bit second half.
At the same time, you know, loads of his mates were in the ground. Loads of people in the ground were his mates.
Yeah, exactly.
The majority of people.
No longer. All right, so who's trumped Craig Davis for you?
Glenn Murray.
Two of them were penalties.
Well, yeah, true.
It's a good result.
Still got a scorer.
Exactly.
Sean's, obviously, people that don't know, Sean's a Palace fan. They were 2-0 down at home to Cardiff.
That's right, yeah.
Looking like curtains. And Bellamy should have scored, shouldn't he?
He should have done. He had a volley from just inside the box, but you would have normally expected him to score. He didn't. Second half, we came out completely different side and just blew a mind. Didn't stand a chance. I think at one stage, Wilfred Zaha had the ball at his feet for a whole minute when we were 3-2 up, just taking the piss. Just because he could.
Fair enough.
How is he still at Palace?
Well, he's only been here with us a couple of seasons.
Contract,
he's got a 5-year deal. He's not ready for a step
he's
up at the moment.
I think about that now.
Well,
but even a step up to a
better
all no disrespect, but a better championship team who will be promoted.
Better promotional aspects.
They wouldn't be able to afford it.
Not Leeds, obviously, but
I'll get taken over. You know, news of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get taken over today.
It's been rumbling on for a long time.
It's been running on for 4 months.
Bates.
All right, we'll come back for your stand down in a minute, John. Right. I presume your stand out might be Leeds doing Everton as a Leeds fan.
It was, yeah, but I did have to be at the weekend.
Since we last recorded, so this time last week.
Yeah, as a massive Leeds fan, that was definitely the standout performance. I don't know if anyone watched it on the show or.
And El Hedjouf is now your hero, is he?
Yeah. I've got a picture
Neil Warnock
up on my wall.
He's not at all, is he?
If Warnock got married again, I think El Hedjouf would probably be the best man.
There was a massive.
Do you have the rings?
Yeah,
there we go. Thank you very much.
Just spit at him. Yeah. So yeah, great performance from the Leeds United, thoroughly deserved, and Southampton at home. So.
It's another opportunity for
you to win a good game. Going on what Sean said, sort of stand down performance would probably be the Birmingham back four.
They weren't there, were they?
Jack Butland had an absolutely storming game. He was brilliant and he conceded five goals.
I don't think he had much chance with it.
Talking
about Leeds as well, they got a fantastic result at the weekend before the cup game against Nottingham Forest.
They were absolutely
flying. 2-1
we won. It was Forest. We had quite a few injuries. Forest have spent £5+ million. I think they had about £3 million worth of players on the bench and stuff like that. And we had about 16-year-olds and maybe even some 12-year-olds.
Becchio got another goal as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
Becchio
flying.
He's doing a bit.
All right, Sean or John, whichever one of you want to jump in, stand down.
Oh, I was going to go for Papi Cisse. We've given him a little praise before, but that penalty was absolutely.
I haven't seen
shocking.
It. Was it against last night? Against
No, at the weekend. He hasn't scored all season.
Well, he has now.
Oh, they won 1-0.
He scored last night.
I thought he scored last night.
And he had an overhead kick.
Hit the bar,
Didn't see it.
Oh, we're talking about overhead kicks. Companies. Absolutely brilliant.
It
went 1-1. And then they got it up the other end and he scored from that.
Yeah.
And someone else hit the bar with an overhead kick as well. Can't remember who that was.
Cisse last night, but not that.
Somebody scored an overhead kick at the weekend and I can't remember who. But
Trevor Sinclair.
No, but it was described as Trevor Sinclair
esque. Really?
Really?
In the Football League?
Yeah.
Right, it must
I'll
be in League 2.
Yeah, because my girlfriend wouldn't let me watch the League 2 highlights on the Football League show.
Already 2 o'clock in the morning, sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Shame on her. Alright, that's fair enough. Stand down.
That would be Papi Cisse.
John, got anyone?
He went for the Birmingham back four.
Remembered.
Yeah.
I like the fact he couldn't remember it.
I thought.
I'm going to go down, right? So, Premier League, we've talked about. Southampton 4 Villa 1, that is a great result for Southampton, much needed as well, because they really need to get some points.
Surprising Ricky Lambert was left on the bench at the beginning of the season.
Well, no,
now he's what, I think he's got
it must have been some sort of fitness issue.
He's scored 4 now, he's joint second top scorer. Now, I mean, even more unbelievably, Aston Villa going on to beat City on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Fairly, and Jerome's not here. Side as well.
Jerome's not here.
And Jerome's still celebrating, isn't he?
Gareth Barry on goal, and a Bondhor scoring twice for the first time in about 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I remember the last
scoring.
Yeah. The thing that sprung to mind was, I remember, I think first day of the season in maybe 2008, Villa beat City, I think 4-1 at East Lindon, and Bondhor scored a hat trick.
Oh, yeah,
so I think
that
he quite liked playing there.
Yeah.
Southampton had a guy making his Premier League debut as well, Paolo Gazzaniga, who's a 19-year-old Argentinian kid.
Yeah.
So to drop Kelvin Davies, who's their club captain as well.
Been there for absolutely.
And they absolutely love him. So he's dropped him and made a bit of a statement. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. Everton against Swansea, the lunchtime kick-off on Saturday.
Phenomenal.
They are absolutely fine. Simon Pitney was our resident Everton fan about 2 years ago. A year ago, he left. And he often said they'll be knocking on the door one day, the top four, knocking on the door. Because obviously they got it once. Dumped out in the to Villarreal, was it? That dumped them out?
Tough draw. Diego Forlan.
Yeah. But yeah, no, they're absolutely flying. Third place.
Until they met Leeds, obviously.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
they were still a few players, admittedly.
Could they're be not, could be for the benefit of them overall.
Of course.
Yeah. Well,
But okay, so if we're looking down it, we're talking about Chelsea and Man U, 13 and 12 points respectively. Then it comes Everton, and then West Brom on 10 points, got another win. Lukaku, the guy that got a loan from Chelsea, scored against Reading. Yeah. I know Reading aren't doing great, although they got a win at QPR last night as well.
Yeah, but QPR aren't doing great.
Yeah. The thing is, Reading made about 9 changes. QPR only played about 2 or 3 changes. They brought Cissé in for Zamora. They started Dyer. Yeah. And they dropped Nelson. Yeah. Mark Hughes said, "We will never be in this position again."
No, it's interesting. Right, speaking of Reading and QPR, has anyone seen the sign at Liverpool John Lennon Airport?
Above us only sky.
Yes. Below us only Reading and QPR.
Which is nice. As we're talking about Liverpool, I'm going to move on to this as well. Either of you seen the documentary yet?
No.
It's on a Friday night on Channel 5.
Sky Plus, V Plus.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Don't have
that,
these facilities.
Are we talking about Brenton Rodgers?
It's brilliant. Have you seen it?
I've not.
I've heard about it. To watch it.
I've got a giant picture of himself in his living room.
Got it on V Plus, and we watched it.
Yeah,
mate, it's massively true. Massive true. It's in his hallway.
What's he do? I don't
giant. Like, he's got a giant. Like, yeah.
Oh, you again.
It's just, to be fair, it is made for the American market, and they like a bit of ostentatious. It's
so brilliant. It's just brilliant. He's David Brent.
He
introduces people. Like, he went around his house. He went, and this is my beautiful niece. Okay.
I don't like the way you're touching me. You should describe this.
Don't start rumours like that. She didn't say that. That is not how the script went on the show. I don't like the way you're touching me, uncle. Leave it. And he was like introducing, she loves coming here, okay, don't you? Okay. Then moving on, this is my daughter, okay, yeah, okay. And then it turns out that his daughter is like you can tell that's a slip of the tongue. She's courting the son of his assistant.
Yeah.
And the way he brought it up was just a little bit weird. He's got his daughter, a 15-year-old daughter, and a 15-year-old boyfriend, and he's like, yeah, these two are a couple, looking at the camera. It's just like, what the hell's going on?
He's not 30. It's called Inside Anfield, isn't it, or something? It really should be called Mersey Shore.
It's actually really good though, and you can tell that they're putting a positive spin on it, and they're saying like he could be the saviour and what have you. And Rodgers, alright, he comes off as a little bit Brent-esque, but what he's saying and what he's trying to achieve, you can absolutely know.
The
fact that he's had a bad start to the season means that a lot of people are probably watching it thinking, oh, this is quite ironic, quite funny. If he'd had a flying start to the season, I think a lot of people would be viewing it with completely different perspective.
Yeah.
So I sort of, like, my mates we were watching with were like ripping the piss out of him. So I brought that. I said, look, if he won 8 games out of 8 already this season, like, you wouldn't be looking like that. And they were like, yeah, to be fair, you're quite funny. And then he said something completely Brent-esque, which just pummeled my argument into the ground. But it's quite interesting. Get on it. I'm sure you can get it on. Is there a Channel 5 player?
Channel 5 on demand. We won't advertise them because they're owned by Northern and Shell, but yeah.
Get it on that, and then sit your Sky Plus. I think there's about 3 or 4 more at least. For Friday nights, but I'm going to stay in and watch it this week.
If you're not interested, Richard Desmond's got a lot of other websites that might interest you. So, you know.
Subscribe to a few
okay,
of them.
Other results. Moving down to the Championship. Barnsley, who you already mentioned, I was going to highlight that. Yep. Bolton getting a good away win at Sheffield Wednesday as well. Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday.
Wednesday have started the season poorly.
Well, they started
amazing.
They started but then they played the Mighty Palace.
A mate of mine is a big Wednesday fan, and he said that every game it's been the same. The first half they've been amazing, second half they've been absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
and they've just capitulated.
But Sean's right, they hadn't lost the game under Dave Jones. They finally lost against your place, wasn't it? Against Palace, right. And since then,
we didn't get a penalty, that cost them the game.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And then the ones we've got to mention are Brighton, who are now top of the league, and have come from sort of nowhere. Because if Cardiff had beaten you, they would have been top. If Blackpool had won on Monday night against Huddersfield, they would have been top. Surprise as it was, they've both dropped points, and Brighton are there on merit.
They have.
1-5,
really,
draw
really
1, lost 1.
Great start to the season. You got to...
Yeah, Blackburn. Well, Steve King. Like they just really want him out, don't they?
I know.
Well, I was going to move on to that. I'll do my stand down. My stand down are the Blackburn fans, because they played on Friday night, I believe.
Yep.
And 13,405 turned up against Middlesbrough.
Really?
That is after their best ever start to a Championship season.
It's not even as if it's a small club as well. It's not like you're playing, with no disrespect, Peterborough or Barnsley.
So that's my stand down.
They really, really hate him, don't they?
This is why they're doing it.
You're a wrestling fan, aren't you?
I've grown up watching wrestling.
Did you see at some wrestling
Hang on,
event,
where the hell has this gone from? I'm talking about the Blackburn fans. You started talking about wrestling.
I've been waiting 2 years.
It's a circle.
At a recent WrestleMania or whatever it is, I don't know what the names of these wrestling events are.
Was Cencini rested? I want a proper circle.
There's a picture of the crowd, a Blackburn fan there holding
Keen
a Keen Al banner.
Bloody
it's out. In Boston.
I think the.
Yeah. I take it you don't mean Boston
Links.
Yeah.
No. Boston USA.
Yeah, Boston
Fair
USA.
Enough.
Boston
Fair
USA.
Enough. I thought it was Paul Pesky Salido just holding that. I think the reason they are staying away is because they just want to make a statement to the owners rather than not support the club. But still, 13,000 against Middlesbrough.
Tim Sherwood coming in to replace him.
Oh, yeah, because he's got loads of management experience, just like Steve Keane did. I mean, Christ.
They should have got rid of Sam.
No,
they would be a friend of the podcast.
You're a personal friend of you, Sean.
Exactly,
I remember, absolutely.
Moving down, League One, Crawley 2, Tranmere 5. I pinpointed this game as a big one for Tranmere because they were top of the league. Absolutely smashed it.
Yeah.
And Crawley are no easy team to beat at home.
I know.
So a fantastic result for them. Notts County 3, Portsmouth 0. Keith Curl doing well. Keith Curl is one of the only three black managers in English football.
That's right.
In the leagues. Can you name the other two?
Let's
give it to Coxon first. I'm just having to think.
I'll need to think.
You can come back to me. I'm not actually sure.
Terry Connor's not there anymore, unfortunately.
No.
If he were, maybe he wouldn't have lost 6-0.
Yeah. Sean also came up with the guy that was on the Football League show.
Leroy
Rosinha.
If he's a manager,
he's not putting much into it if he's there every Saturday night. Right, come back to me. I would ask Sean and John, but we have this conversation walking down, so I hit him with his trivia, and Sean did very well, actually. If you don't get it, we'll come back to Sean. Keith Curl, and then League Two, Oxford, worth pointing out, they've now lost 5 games in a row. Chris Wilder was speculation rife that he was going to go get the Coventry job. Eventually Mark Robbins got it.
Yeah.
Since that started happening, Oxford have just plummeted down the league. They had a really good start. They were in the top three after like 3 or 4 games. Since then, they've just done a massive, massive downward spiral. But Bradford are now up to 4th. So looking out for that one.
Yeah.
There was a top versus second clash. Don't know if anyone
saw anything
about that.
But it was interesting, wasn't it? Let's go on to Scottish football.
Rangers beating Motherwell.
So, I am going to start shouting about this now. Gillingham are the best team that's ever played football. Not only are we going to get promoted as champions, we're going to go straight through League One and probably make the playoffs in the Championship in about two seasons' time. Just putting that out there.
Yeah,
that's it.
Fair enough. Who's been your star of the season so far? Who's been?
There's no star of the season because the manager keeps changing it. He makes 5 changes every game. He dropped Danny Kebwell, who's our top scorer. Didn't play him in the top versus second clash. But I put this on. I think you've all probably seen it. I'll put it on the site. We signed a player on Friday called Robbie Finlay from Nottingham Forest. He started against England in the World Cup for the United States. He started in their team against England in their 2010 World Cup. And he's now at League 2 Gillingham on loan. So obviously a great signing for the club, but his personal aspirations. He probably, lining up in 2010, he probably didn't think that
in two years' time
I'm going to be playing League Two football. Yeah. But an interesting one.
Striker though, yeah.
Forward. Yeah. So, yeah, we didn't really need him, but we've got him. And just to point out, if anyone is listening, don't start abusing me. I don't actually think Jill's going to get promoted as champions, go through League One, and then make the playoffs in the Championship.
You do, really. You just want to cover your back.
No, I don't think that at all. It's 8 games in, and it's
quite... what this betting slip here said.
It's quite funny, though, because...
£1,000?
When a club has a good start, because it's an unbelievable start, they've only dropped 2 points all season, our message boards are sort of rife with one person going, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and everyone else batting them down. But if it was like a club that's been bred in success, like everyone would be doing
Chris
Powell and Chris Hughton.
As he puts his phone back in his pocket. Can I just say, you didn't even put your phone back in your pocket. I quite like the fact that I'm at a success-starved club and everyone's feet are still on the ground. Anyway, moving on. The last one I want to point out, Wickham 0, Wimbledon 1. Wimbledon obviously sacked the manager that we talked about, Terry Brown went. Simon Bassey, I'm not sure. He's in
Pitney.
He's in temporary charge. They've got Harry Bassett in to try and look for their new manager. But they got a win.
That's got a reality TV show, isn't it? Harry Bassett looking for a new manager with Davina McCall.
So they went away and got a win, which they really needed at Wickham. And then Wickham turned around and sacked Gary Waddock. Who'd done really well for them. Got them promoted, obviously got them back relegated, but they've had a really rubbish start to the season. Moving on, my standout performance is Freddie Eastwood of Southend United. In his first spell there, he played 135 games and scored 65 goals.
Including the winner against United
in the League Cup. Then he came back for a short spell on loan last season, scored a couple of goals, and then he signed from them this summer. If I was a Southend fan, I would have been absolutely loving that, because obviously it's a legend coming back.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work out. He came off the bench on Saturday and scored in the 88th minute winner against Exeter 2-1.
Excellent.
And interestingly as well, fair play to Sturrock, the manager. He brought on Bradley Corr, or he brought on another guy, Barry Corr. Brought him on as a sub.
Like Andrew's brother, the fourth one.
It's not going to work. He brought him on as a sub, and Freddie Eastwood. They both scored, turned around a 1-0 loss to a 2-1 win.
I heard a rumour once, isn't Freddie Eastwood a gypsy?
Yeah.
It's not a rumour, it's a fact. He's of gypsy stuff.
He should be playing for Gillingham, really, because they're full of gypsies. But any other news? Mike, you've got loads of news. Yeah.
First news is just a nice snippet of information. Gaston Ramirez, signed for Southampton in the summer, £12 million from Bologna, was linked with United, Chelsea, and a lot of other big clubs. He is from, I kid you not, a town in Argentina called Frei Bentos. Speaking of Argentine football,
isn't he Uruguay?
Uruguay, same difference, you know, similar colour flags. Got a sun on the flag, it's fine. Speaking of South America, Diego Maradona is going to be a father again.
Really?
At the age of 51, his missus, who is 33, is pregnant. He's got five.
Is it definitely his?
It's definitely his.
Could be Greg Shickles. Anyone in media?
Hashtag Shicklegate. This will be his fifth child, one of which he does not acknowledge is his. The fact that this child is called Diego Maradona Jr. doesn't help that.
Oh, that's the mum looking for some money there, isn't it?
So basically, Sergio Aguero's kid is going to be older than his uncle.
Okay, fine, sure.
In other stories,
crazy.
I've got a couple of little bits.
Go on then.
Barnett, who have been in the bottom longer than Elton John, have signed John Oster and Collins John. Do you remember Collins John? You're not having the gag, by the way. It's a good gag.
It was a good gag in the 1970s if you're Roy Chubby Brown.
So they're down the bottom, but that is a couple of fantastic signs.
Well, Collins John is the opposite of John Collins, isn't he? And they were at Fulham together at the same time.
And he's still quite young as well. He's still quite young, so it must have been injuries, might have they've not turned it around yet, but they got a decent point at home to Rotherham 0-0 on Saturday as well. So
it's interesting actually with Collins John, because he played for Holland a couple of times.
Yeah, and he's now at Barnet.
He did quite well at Fulham. I don't know what's gone on there. But,
interesting. And the other thing, do you remember Darren Carter? Burst onto the scene, 18-year-old, got a Birmingham promoted.
He looked like he was going to burst out of his shirt as well.
Got him promoted against, was it Norwich they played in the playoff final?
Yes,
scored,
it was.
He went to West Brom for about £4 million. Preston, he's played for. I'm loving the podcast knowledge here. He's now playing for Cheltenham Town.
Is he really?
Age 28 in League Two as well.
Right.
98.
Yeah, he was at. I think his last club was Preston. Got bombed out of there. He was training at Nottingham.
For Cheltenham, so they've not got much of a budget, have they?
Yeah, well, I think to be honest, he was completely. He was out of contract. Yeah. He was on trial at Nottingham Forest, doing quite well, and then he tore one of his groin muscles. So he's been out for a year, like being
really?
out, was released, and then out for a whole year. He was allowed to train at, I think Birmingham took him back on and let him train there, and he's now got a club at Cheltenham. He's been playing every week, so he's obviously getting his fitness back. But 28, he could still do a job potentially if he makes a name for himself back down there. But yeah, I just saw his name on Cheltenham. I was like, is that the Darren Carter? I looked it up and it was, so I thought I'd just put it out there.
Nice. Ryan Tunnicliffe.
Ooh,
does that name mean much to anybody?
Yeah.
Man United starlet was on loan at Peterborough last season. 10 years ago, his dad put a bet on
£100
1-1 that he would play for Man United one day. And last night, in the 77th minute, he came on for Marnik Familia.
Was he already at United?
He was already. I think he'd been training. And won his dad £10,000.
That's beautiful.
On the back of that bet.
Who was the goalkeeper? Was it Kirkland?
Chris Kirkland for England.
And he kept pulling out of England's
And he played for 45 minutes for England to Chris Kirkland.
Won his dad that bet.
It's funny.
Fair enough.
It was like about £125,000, wasn't it? That
yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Two other things I've noticed from football this week. On Match of the Day 2, they pointed out that Brad Friedel has not missed a league game in 8 years.
He was on
Hugo Lloris has.
Yeah, and they even pointed out that Hugo Lloris, the last time he missed the game, Hugo Lloris was in like the Lyon reserve team, or Auxerre. I thought he came through somewhere else.
I think it may have been.
Another thing, Nicky Butt was doing the punditry last night on the Newcastle Man U game.
Yeah.
How many times do you reckon Nicky Butt played for Newcastle? Just throw some numbers out there.
I'm going to say 100.
100?
I was going to go with
38. 79, 38, 100. 170 times.
170 times? Back
yeah.
Really?
If you put us together, then we got it.
Yeah,
John, we're fine. Yeah, we're laughing.
But I was like, really? Did he?
That's he amazing. Did, though. No, because he was there. He went alone to Birmingham.
Yeah. Right, what else have you got? You promised
what
me
have
loads.
I got? Right, Ronaldo. Fat Ronaldo.
He's going on fitness.
Fat Ronaldo is going on Celebrity Fit Club.
Yeah.
With Lisa Riley.
John O'Connor.
What were you going to say?
Oh, Fat Ronaldo. Did he win, like...
He might have won Celebrity Fit Club.
I just won it.
It's only just started.
Having seen him recently, I don't think he has won it. And if he
he's won something. I'll come back to you on that one.
Also, I mean,
we're all
big fans of Sunday League football in the Midlands. I think
follow every.
Yeah.
Well, there is
them and Villa reserves.
There is a league in the Midlands made up of teams from churches.
I saw this.
And two teams, Common Ground United and Zion Athletic, big Bob Marley fans, were playing each other. The game had to be abandoned because a brawl broke out. Five Common Ground players.
Do you reckon someone missed a shot and they went, oh, Jesus Christ, don't blasphemy in front of me? And they just started hitting each other with Bibles.
Oh my God.
No!
Oh no!
Well, I'll tell you, five Common Ground players could do with a redemption song because they are all up on charges of violent conduct.
That's going to make them all very cross.
Of course, because Rocky, one of them is on serious violent conduct charges. They all face being banned for a year.
Wow.
So you can't beat the Christian leagues. But the only other bit of news about
It happened when one of the players wanted the other one to pass over and they didn't.
That's too dangerous.
I know, it's just religion. I'm talking about religion.
Testament shit.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But then,
Joe, are you not finished yet?
We'll leave this news for a bit.
Okay, Joe Dunn has been appointed as the new United manager. He's been there years and years and years as like assistant, reserve team and what have you. And Mark Kinsella is his assistant as well, point that out.
Is Joe Dunn Romeo's brother?
Yes, absolutely. And did we all see about Mr. Sheedy as well? It's got the all clear. Has got the clear at the moment. So, we talked about Kevin Sheedy when he first diagnosed with it. But bowel cancer as well. So he's given that a right good fight. So well done to him.
Well, that
fingers crossed.
I suppose leads unfortunately to some sad news, which is the death of John Bond.
Yeah.
The former led Norwich to the League Cup.
When I think of John Bond, I think of like Norwich.
Well, yeah, Norwich League Cup final. He was manager of Man City in the Ricky Villa final in 1981. Right. But yeah, fascinatingly, he played for West Ham when they won the second division and the FA Cup. But he played 381 goals and scored 381 games, scored 32 goals from right back. I mean, that is a really good record. Yeah. I mean, I remember
that is doing a bit, isn't it?
Personally, because when I was younger, I played for Witton Albion's youth team from the age of about 8 to 13. And he was manager of Witton Albion.
Oh, really?
And I think I met him because I met reams of managers who meant nothing to me as a child because I was only interested in Eric Cantona. But,
excuse me.
Respectful.
Yeah.
But yeah, by all accounts, I mean, Harry Redknapp's come out today and spoke about what a great guy he was. And he was Kevin Bond's dad.
Yes.
It's a terrible shame and unfortunately.
He got to a decent age, wasn't it?
He got
to like 80.
In his 80s,
Definitely. Talking
to his family.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Rest in peace. Talking to Harry Redknapp, lots of rumours that he might be going to Ipswich. He's best mates with the Ipswich chairman, which is where the links come in. No, it's not Sheepshanks anymore. It's not been in for a long time, mate.
Bad knowledge.
Yeah.
Paul Jewell is.
Who is he?
He's not doing him any favours. Marcus Evans.
If I've got that right,
I deserve a medal. But I'm pretty sure it's Marcus Evans.
Go check that out.
If Harry Redknapp.
Oh, are you actually going to check it out?
No,
you're not. It's Marcus Evans in my eyes.
Harry Redknapp goes anywhere before January,
it's not David Sheepshanks. It might not be Marcus Evans, but you know when sometimes you've got so much football knowledge that you think it might just be at the back of your... Yeah, get the goat out. Sorry, what were you going to say?
If Harry Redknapp goes anywhere before January, he's a massive idiot.
Well, yeah potentially. But then Ipswich is a club, right?
Well, who's he going to come in for?
Yeah.
Well, no. Liverpool, and I've always said he won't go to Liverpool because of the fact he writes for the Sun, but he hasn't...
He won't go north.
I don't think he'll go.
I think he would for a big job.
Well, no, to be fair, from where he lives to get to Ipswich
and to get
to Liverpool, it might even be quicker to get to Liverpool. To be honest,
Chelsea have started the season great, but if results start to sound a bit sour now, they've got a tough run of games. They've got Arsenal. They've got United in the next month. Who's to say that job won't be open?
Surely Brendan Rodgers got to be given time, isn't it, again, actually Liverpool?
Well, you'd think, but you never know in this sort of game.
It's a funny old game.
I just think there's top flight teams. Mark Hughes at QPR.
He's gone. That would be his dream job, really. The amount of money he's got to spend in the January transfer window there.
I think QPR have got a few easier games coming up.
Yeah.
They've had a hard lot. If they don't
start picking up points now, I think...
Yeah. I think he's at field if he goes switch. He might get them up, but Harry Redknapp, I'm not a fan of him, as you all well know, but he's got the reputation now to take on a bigger job.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting one. We'll monitor that one closely. Wembley to host the 2020 European final. Have you seen this?
Yeah, the European Championships, the final and the semis. Apparently they want them to be in vaguely the same place, so
it all depends.
Wembley, Old Trafford.
It all depends on whether Turkey get the
Olympics.
And if Turkey
get
the Olympics, then they're not going to give them the Euros.
Yeah.
If they don't give Turkey the Euros, they want to do this thing where they play it in all the different cities.
Well, because the only other people.
Who thinks of that? Because I absolutely hate it.
The only other people who bid for the Euros that year are Scotland, Ireland, and Wales.
Haven't Georgia joined in?
Georgia and Azerbaijan were talking about it.
And Azerbaijan, those football in powerhouses.
There's a lot of oil money there.
If we'd said quite Qatar.
Qatar,
a year ago on his podcast. We'd have pronounced it.
And I'm sorry, we're talking about a bid that involves Wales. So, and Scotland.
Yeah, they've got grounds. Come on. It's interesting, and also basically what they want to do is play in different cities, but then for the semi-finals and the final they want to have one hub, so they've said Wembley have already gone into Platini and said
like Wembley, doesn't he, Platini?
Yeah, because they make a load of money out of it, that's why.
I think they'd be better off doing it as a British bid, saying, well look, Ireland, Scotland and Wales have bid for it, we could have Windsor Park in there as well, have Wembley,
but then again,
spread it across a region rather than just one nation. And you don't need the qualification necessarily. You could say, well, nobody qualifies automatically.
Yeah.
It does run a risk because bugger all people go and watch it if none of the home nations qualify. But with the amount of half of Europe are now going to qualify, quiet you. By then it's going to be.
I'm the host!
It's going to be 24 out of 53 nations qualified, so you can almost certainly guarantee at least one home nation will be in there.
Almost certainly guaranteed. Learn to describe that.
Who was it talking about the Cruyff turn last week?
Who said Cruyff turned? Yeah, it wasn't. He knocked it with the outside of his foot.
Probably Dan.
Let's play Dan. Dan. Need to learn to
Qatar, there, they've said that it's probably going to be a winter tournament.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's going to be an enforced winter
break.
Yeah, but they've only said that because apparently gay men hibernate, so that's the only way they can ensure they don't go.
Talking of which, Cole Lawson.
we've mentioned Cole.
That was a tenuous link, and it was not true, obviously. Well, it might be, and if it is, it's fine.
I got
a tweet from my mate Steve last night, who is at View from the N5, who's done a few bits for us before, saying, "I think I'm sitting behind your mate Cole that was out for the pubcast drinks."
And it
turns out it was. They were sitting together at the Emirates.
Yeah.
So the pubcast was there in force with lots of numbers.
The reason that Arsenal won 6-1.
Yeah. Well, and Cole tweeted us a video earlier on as well, which I retweeted.
Yeah.
Of some streakers as well, which is they're on the pitch for ages. Yeah. Well, not streakers actually, pitch invaders rather than streakers. But so have a little look at that video, which I retweeted as well, which is quite cool. But there we go. Right, any more before I do a little bit of Hogwarts?
I've got some naughty boys, or potentially, it's not been proven yet. The Rayo Vallecano fans who deliberately sabotaged, allegedly, their own home match against Real Madrid.
Yes.
What this was allegedly about, basically.
Stop saying allegedly, it's boring.
Alright, basically what happened was.
We're going to get sued now.
Some people broke into their stadium, which apparently is.
Complaints to at Simon Head.
And cut all the wiring for all of the floodlights in the whole building. So the game couldn't go ahead. Apparently, this is a protest over the club day that Rayo Vallecano do, which is. Every single person, including season ticket holders, has to then rebuy their seat for games against Real Madrid. So you bought a season ticket, you would have thought gets you into every single game. Nope, you want to see Real Madrid, you have to pay an extra €25. But obviously, it's a pretty ridiculous situation. Game couldn't go ahead, was postponed to the next night, which meant that poor old Marco Essien missed his wedding.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time we thought we saw Michael Essien in the slug gym while we were doing
It was him.
It wasn't.
It looked incredibly like him. Unfortunately, Chelsea were playing away that day, so we decided it probably wasn't him. But there you go. We live and learn. We live and learn. Excuse me. Hogwarts.
Yeah, Hogwarts. Go for it.
All right. This is our fourth Hogwarts so far. We've got Luke Shaw, Southampton. If you remember.
Yep.
Left back. Bradley Dack. Yep. Gillingham got sent off the other day.
Did he?
And then the third one was Sam Hutchinson, who was a little bit different because he's not as young as the others, but we're looking. Right, Max Clayton. Anyone?
No.
You don't know about him, you will in a minute.
He's from Crewe.
Well done, you can read my notes. He's from Crewe Alexandria. He's born... excuse me. This is going to get you as well. Born on the 9th of August 1994. Ouch. It's when I started secondary school.
I was in Dorset that
day. So he's aged 18. He's got the squad number 7 at Crewe Alexandra. Now, this as a forward, this doesn't look great, but 33 appearances and 4 goals.
Looks terrible.
Made his debut versus debut versus Morecambe in April 2011. He's represented England already at under 16, under 17, under 18, and under 19s, Jesus. Including at the under 17 World Cup, Mexico. Right. Oh, hang on. So he's now changed from he's rubbish to he's quite good.
I'm still a little bit jealous, just that's all.
Well, he's played 33 games at the age of 18 in league football, and he played under 16, under 17, 18, under 19.
That you've got there that justifies him. Sorry.
Just the what?
Yeah.
He's known Nick Powell since age 6.
Yeah. Well done, he's brilliant. Yeah,
okay. Son of the Paul Clayton, who's a player, and his brother is Harry Clayton, who's also a player. He has known Nick Powell since he was 6, and you'll find out why in a minute. It is of interest. He was the Football League Young Player of the Month in August.
Right.
He scored the winner versus Coventry in the league a couple of weeks ago, and he's on Twitter. At Max J. Clayton. So follow him if you want. The reason that it's interesting that he knows Nick Powell is because in the summer, Alex Ferguson reportedly wanted to sign Max Clayton along with Nick Powell. Crewe said no, he's not ready for that yet. We want him in here for another year. But now, this week, Man City have said they're interested.
So they didn't put an option in there.
So there is a no. Apparently not. Apparently, Crewe just said no. It needs another year. So you'd think Fergie would have tried to get an option on him or something like that.
Yeah. Well, possibly he has.
Possibly he has, and it's not been. It's not sort of come out in the press or whatever. So yeah. So he's playing each week for Crewe Alexandra. Obviously, he's getting a lot of attention this season. Yeah. Young Player of the Month, scoring winning goals against Coventry, whatever. Man City have now put their hat in the ring. Again, it's all press talk, but yeah. with young Crewe players, you know, something probably will happen eventually.
Just an absolute football factor, aren't they, Crewe?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's obscene. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Max, if you're listening, don't join City.
Well, we'll tweet at him. We'll tweet.
Yeah.
At Max J. Clayton.
Well, I'm from Crewe as well. I was born in Crewe, so Max, I know on this sort of thing.
What, you want to just stay at Crewe?
It's strange for him to get so much publicity though, with this poor goal scoring record for a striker.
Yeah, but I think that's 33 appearances. Probably I don't know how many of those are starting.
Yeah, there might be 10 minutes. Yeah.
Plus, he played against Gillingham and he didn't seem like an out and out striker because they had Nick Powell as well who sat deep. So it seemed like he's got the number scored number 7 as well. So not sure that he's an out and out forward. But definitely it's Hogwarts.
He's lively.
It's Hogwarts. So keep an eye on him, and he's our fourth Hogwarts. So right, a little bit of housekeeping. Go on the website www.footballpubcast.co.uk. Email us banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. Complaints?
At Simon Head.
Follow us on Twitter. That's the only thing you need to do. Ignore all the rest. Follow us on Twitter @footballpubcast. And this will be going live on the website, on Twitter, on Facebook, bloody everywhere. You're going to be able to find us everywhere.
I'm going to write it on my chest.
Do it.